is indeed a great Sunday to be in worship. Anybody want to know why? Phew, I'm thinking that y'all don't. All right. Today, we get to begin a new sermon series called Body Talk. We will spend the next several weeks discussing who we are, whose we are, and what we are all about as the church, being the body of Christ here at Rolling Plains. We are a body of believers who need one another in godly fellowship and discipleship. We are a body of believers who dream big with a great big faith in a great big God. We are a body of believers who contribute spiritually to God's kingdom cause, inside and outside the walls of God's local church. We are a body of believers who are irrationally generous. Who else raises $30,000 for people that we don't even get to know, right? We did that last year at Advent Conspiracy. We're going to be doing that again this year, Christmas time. We will do whatever it takes to reach those who have yet to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Paul, a follower of Christ, had a lot to say about the body of believers. Well, let's begin by looking at Paul's writing in his letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. You can follow along on the screen or in your sermon notes. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, then you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. So we're going to be talking about the body of Christ. In verse 1, so brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. The phrase body of Christ, it's a common New Testament metaphor for the church. The church is called one body of Christ in several verses in the scriptures. And in your notes, you can see some of those verses if you want to go back this week and look those up. When Christ entered our world, he took on a physical body prepared for him. And through his physical body, Jesus demonstrated the love of God clearly, tangibly, and boldly, especially in the sacrificial death that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me and for all. After he rose from the grave, Christ continues his work in the world through those that he has redeemed. The church now demonstrates the love of God clearly, tangibly, and boldly. In this way, the church functions as the body of Christ. Well, when you guys came in, you were given a jigsaw puzzle piece, right? Now, you guys want to hang on to these. I love jigsaw puzzles. I always have. As a kid, I like to put them together, and as an adult, I still like to put them together. As a matter of fact, on my iPad, I have an app where you can get a free jigsaw puzzle every day. Now, if you pay for the app, you get more than one free one, but I'm cheap, or you might say frugal. So I just get one free one every day because I figure doing one puzzle a day is enough, right? So I like to put things together like this. Don't ever ask me to work on a car. I don't put those kinds of things together, motors, mm-mm. But things like this, I love to put together. You know, you have an individual piece that alone has a purpose, but boy, when it gets put together and it makes something, the picture is so beautiful, right? And it joined together, it is a different entity than just being on its own. In our scriptures, we are talking about the body, right? We start in chapter 12. But in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is teaching people about the gospel of Christ. There were great sinners. Do we have any great sinners around today? Absolutely. Each and every one of us, right? Paul teaches that we are great sinners, that God is infinite, holy, and just. And because God is holy and just, and because God loves us, we are under God's discipline. But that God, in his great mercy, has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, whose perfect obedience and death in our place makes it possible for God to justify, to declare righteous all who trust in Christ, so that there is no condemnation for those that call Jesus Christ Lord. That's cool stuff. Right? That's what Paul is teaching the Romans. And on the basis of that great work of salvation for all who believe in Christ, Paul now begins to build his application for life in chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. In other words, the Christian life is built on the mercy of God. We are not a people trying to earn the favor of God. We are people who are stunned that we have been shown utterly undeserved favor, mercy, because of Christ. We don't try to earn mercy with a merciful life. It can't be done. Instead, we are able to live a merciful life because we have been shown great mercy. Chapter 12 begins to describe this life and calls us to it. God wants us to offer our lives as living sacrifices, one jigsaw puzzle piece at a time. Daily placing our time, our talents, our energy, our hurts and our hang-ups, all just placing them in God's hand, trusting that God is going to direct and guide us. A living sacrifice means that we are putting all of the pieces of our lives into the hands of God. Now, that's not to say that it's easy placing those pieces in the hands of God. It's not to say that as soon as we place all of the pieces, we're going to get immediate answers. If you've been on this journey of Christianity for a while, you know that sometimes we place the piece and then God doesn't answer quick enough. So what do? We take it back, right? Okay, God, I got this. And then we realize we have to give it again. And sometimes we have to give it again. And then God begins to put things together for us. Right? God begins to put things together and begins to shape us as individuals within the body of believers. We become a piece of the whole thing. If I have a jigsaw puzzle in a box and I just leave it in the box, it doesn't make the pretty picture, right? It's not complete. In fact, there are many steps that have had to take place even just to make the pieces. A design was chosen by the Creator, just like God has chosen to design us. Then that design is presented to the people who make the decision of whether the puzzle is going to be made or not. And God presents all of us with the truth of God's holy plans for our lives through Scripture, discussions with trusted friends and family, people who have been on this faith journey longer than we have. And then it's up to us to accept or reject God's plan, just like it's up to the corporation to accept or reject the picture that's been submitted for the next jigsaw puzzle. After the designers agree on a design, the picture is pressed on cardboard. Then that large picture is cut into various pieces of, 64, 84, 100, 1,000, 5,000 pieces. And some of our faith formation feels this way, doesn't it? There are times where we feel like we've been cut into 64 pieces or 1,000 pieces with what's going on in our lives. But we've had to keep pressing on to rid ourselves of old ways of thinking. We've had, or maybe we're getting pressed down and cut up by our own life confessions. We are feeling, or we have felt, squashed by the depth of our sorrow in times of disobedience to God. Finally, the preparation is finished. And an individual takes the disconnected, torn apart individual pieces and puts them together and makes a whole connected picture. Finally, we turn our whole lives over to God. In the good times of life, in the hurt times of life, in the hard times of life, and we trust that no matter what life throws to us, that God is with us. And that we are his beloved children. Like the disconnected pieces transformed into one whole picture, God wants to transform his people with renewed minds, with renewed hearts, with renewed souls to honor and to serve God. The church may be called the body of Christ because as members of the body of Christ, we are joined to Christ in salvation. Individuals are like the puzzle pieces. Alone, we are disconnected and there is no picture. But when we are connected with the body of Christ, together we form a picture of the life that God wants for us. Members of the body of Christ, we follow Christ as our leader. Members of the body of Christ, we are the physical representation of Christ to the world. That's what Bo was talking about this morning with going out, being at the corn stand, right? We are the physical representations of Christ to the world in those moments when we serve a high-quality product, when we serve them with smiles, when we chat with them as they're sitting around the tables and we're giving people a place to sit at the fair. We are being representations of Christ in the world. And the church is the organism through which Christ manifests his life to the world today. Members of the body of Christ, we are indwelt, right? The Holy Spirit comes into us. And that Holy Spirit, it is a consuming fire that we can then pass on to others. We as a body of Christ, we possess a diversity of gifts suited to particular functions. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. That is why here at Rolling Plains, we offer the Shape class. We come to the class as individuals and through reading God's word, spending time in a small group and discussions, individuals discover how God has shaped them to fulfill God's plan for their life. We connect the dots of what it is that we like to do. We like to do that because God's wired us to like to do something, right? And so then when we serve in that area, oh my gosh, the world just opens up and we are fulfilling God's plan for our life. And we do it with joy and enthusiasm because that is how God has cut us. That's how God has shaped us. As much as we are one large body of believers, we are also individuals within the body of Christ. So let's see what Paul has to say about our individuality. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 5. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually, we belong to each other. Paul is saying that our true individuality, it is found. Our true individuality is discovered, experienced in relationship to the body of Christ. Think about that second phrase in verse 5. And individually, members of one of another. Members. Parts. Pieces of one another. One by one, individually. Here is what Paul is saying. I am a part of you. You are a part of me. I am like your ear, like your eye, or your hand, or your foot. And you are like my ear, my eye, my hand, and my foot. Each individual, Paul says, is part of one of the other individuals within the body. Here is the amazing thing, right? That's who I am. I am a part of you. You are a part of me. It's like the song that we sang, that the praise team sang this morning, and we're going to sing before we leave today, right? We are a part of each other. Identity as God has created me to be cannot be unknown or cannot be known except in serving others, in reliance on Christ. And they can't see me without seeing you. Several years ago, I went on my first mission trip to South Africa in Cape Town. In our first couple of days, we stayed in Cape Town before we went out into the squatter areas and the townships to serve. And we had the blessing of working with Edna and Ray Light. Now, Ray was a pastor during South Africa's time of apartheid, which means a separateness, right? And they separated people by the color of their skin. And the color of your skin meant where you could live, how much money you could make, whether what you could do, where you could go, right? Ray and Edna are white South Africans. They are Methodists. Ray was a Methodist pastor. Ray was a Methodist pastor who spoke against apartheid during apartheid. Now, that meant that your life was literally on the line. And not long before apartheid ended, one of the ladies in the service, the government would send secret people into church services to hear what the pastor was preaching on. If he preached anything, or she preached anything other than holding up apartheid, you were on the list. Well, Ray was on that list. And so right after the service, Ray and Edna are standing there, and they're greeting people as they go out. And one lady reached in and whispered into Edna's ear, I hope you have your bags packed, because you're next. Which meant if you don't get out of here, the forces are going to come in, they're going to kill you. And they didn't just kill you, they killed your family, right? Ray and Edna always had a stash of bags packed, and they always had several avenues out of Cape Town. This is who I get to meet? This is who I get to serve with? How cool is that, right? So our first couple days there, we stayed in different cabins. And so as I was walking from my cabin to Ray and Edna's, we were all going to meet at Ray and Edna's that morning for devotions. There were a couple of black South African guys walking, you know, on the path, the road there, because they worked for the place. And so I saw them and said my usual, you know, hey, good morning. And the guys just kind of stopped, and they smiled, and they said, Sawabona. And I'm thinking, Sawabona. How cool is that? Someone just spoke to me in a different language, but I don't know what that means, right? I don't know if they said, hey, have a great day. I don't know if they said, lady, I don't know you. I don't know what they said, right? So I go up to Ray and Edna's, and Ray's sitting down. He's at the beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and I said, Ray, do you have a moment for a question? And his eyes lit up, and so I told him about my experience. And as I told him, and when I told him that I greeted them, his eyes got really, really bright. And he said, what you did was a great thing because you greeted them. You acknowledged their existence. And when you acknowledged their existence, you acknowledged the existence of their family. And they are not used to that from a white person. Wow. See, to them, there's this practice called Ubuntu, right? It's this whole theology. It's this whole tribal thing. And it means when I greet you, I don't just say hello to Chad. I'm saying hello to Chad and Jennifer and their kids. I'm acknowledging him and all of his tribe. And that's what Ubuntu is. It's knowing that I am an individual, but I belong to something larger, right? I am an individual, but I belong to something larger. See, there are individuals within the body of Christ. Paul values individuality so highly that he does not fail to tell us how our true individual selves can be known, namely by living in relationship to others and by serving and being served in the body of Christ. And then, from that position and identity, we express our individual identity with Christ in relationship to the world. Love other people with all your heart in reliance on Christ, and you will discover who and whose you are. First point that we were talking about was unity of the body of Christ. It is created in Jesus Christ. And individuality is valued in Christ. Indeed, it is discovered within the body of Christ. When Paul speaks of the church as a body, he moves back and forth between two meanings that overlap. One is that the universal church, every believer in Christ who has ever lived, is the body of Christ. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 20 and 23, Paul says, God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named, not only now, but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him the head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, it is the fullness of Christ who fills everything in every way. That's the invisible, spiritual, universal church of all believers, the body of Christ. But the other meaning is that Paul thinks of each local church as the body of Christ as well. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, he says to the church, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." One simple way to say what that means is that each of us is in relationship to Christ. We are therefore in a relationship to each other. I am a part of you. You are a part of me. And together we are all God's body. If I am Christ's sister and you are Christ's brother, then you are my brother. By creating relationships with himself, Christ creates the relationships in the body of believers. Much like the jigsaw puzzle doesn't come out of the box with pieces connected, it's up to us to connect with one another. It's up to us to connect to the body of believers. Well, here are some steps of faith for you this week. If you don't know your spiritual gifts, I want to encourage you to write on the back of your form that you want to take that class, on the back of your connection card. Discover how God has uniquely designed you to fulfill God's plan for your life and the life of the body of Christ, the life of the church. I want to also encourage you to consider to let your neighborhood know who you are. When you came in this morning, across from the entrance doors here, you may have noticed there's a bunch of crosses in the rocks there. Those are for you. If you want to take one home, you can put that cross out in front of your house. Those crosses began as a way that someone said, you know what? There's so many areas in our country now where it's being forbidden that we can display that we are Christians. Yes. But they can't take that away from my home. So they began making these crosses and painting them white. And that is, again, one more way that when we put those in our lawns, that we show, I'm an individual believer in Christ, but I am part of a larger body of believers in Jesus Christ. And you might start to notice that there are several of them already out and about around Zanesville. That's a free gift for you. You can take that. Read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, every day this week, and ask God how you are to be part of the body. Now, you have your puzzle pieces, right? Get those out. I want you to write your name on them. And then after you've written your name on your puzzle piece, today when you leave the sanctuary after worship, there's some big bowls by each of the entrances. Put your puzzle piece in those bowls, and later it will be revealed what we're going to do with these pieces. See, you never want to miss worship because you just never know what's going to go on. Last week we did the handprints. This week we're doing puzzle pieces. God is creative, yes? And we can show our individuality and yet our togetherness through our handprints, through things like puzzle pieces. Would you pray with me, please? Most holy and gracious God, we do give you thanks and praise that you have created us as individuals. And yet, God, we feel disconnected when we are not connected with you and with the body of believers. Holy God, help us to continue to connect our lives to you and to one another. Amen.